A privilege and great honor to introduce to you the speaker for this evening. It's my misfortune that it took so long in my life, 56 years, to meet him today. But better late than never, I guess, as they say. So it's my pleasure to introduce Sheikh Ahmed Abdul Rashid, who joins us this evening. And he's going to share his words. Now, I told you I mentioned this this evening, but I'm holding in my hand one of his many works of literary scholarship. His main topic and speciality is in Sufism. But in glancing through the introduction, which is 2-3 pages in text, I just picked out a few things that I'll share with you. And of course, Sheikh Abdul Rashid, also known as Mr. Rash, but he has studied, it's a very unique combination. He has studied law, religion, and he's also studied homeopathy, which I think many of us, particularly from the eastern part of the universe, who I know my mother is very fond of homeopathy and believes in it, but maybe some of the allopathy doctors here would say, wait a minute. He has set up several institutes also, like Legacy International. And many of his books have been translated into various languages, and it intrigued me. One of the languages includes Kazakh. And in speaking to Sheikh Rashid just before, earlier this evening, he said he also travels, ironically, to Central Asia. Many of his towns, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, I take a personal interest there because my wife's from Uzbekistan. And he's preaching Islam and democracy to these regions where they know neither. They're run by dictators in many cases who suppress religious freedom. And so we very much commend the work Sheikh Rashid is doing. But nevertheless, I won't hold the podium much longer. It's my pleasure and privilege to introduce to you this new main Sheikh Ahmed Abdul Rashid, who of course is going to speak to us on the life of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he being a lover and follower of the Ahlul Bayt, I'm sure he's going to entice us with his words of wisdom.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear brothers and sisters, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Alhamdulillahi muqalibul qulubi wa absar. Allahumma thabit qulubana ala siratika al-kawin. Waj'alna li wahjika mutahajihin. Wa salli ala shafi'il habib. Rahmatil alameen. Wa manaril najiin. Wa masail al-arifin. Praise be to Allah, the turner of the hearts and of sight. O Allah, fix our hearts on the best of your ways and make us face you in our way and bestow blessings on our beloved intercessor, the mercy of all the worlds, the lighthouse of the survivors, the harbor of the knowers. Join me. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu rasulullah. There is none worthy of worship save Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. And surely, my dear brothers and sisters, he is the best of those created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am so honored to be with you. Unworthy, I must say, to try to stand in the shoes of my brother and my dear friend for many years, Sheikh Nuruddin Durki, whose feet are bigger than mine in two ways. One, his shoe is bigger, and one, his knowledge is bigger. And I love him dearly, and I am honored and humbled that he would entrust this sacred occasion to me. You know, he is gaining his health and his strength back, alhamdulillah. And I spoke to him last night, and he is still attached to some instruments and things that he has to drag around with him, and he made his way over to the University of Virginia last night for a small mullet there. So it tells you a lot, huh? Inshallah, he'll be with you next week. I want to thank Smad Ali and our brother Jafar and Hussein for this opportunity and this introduction to bring someone like me here. I've heard a lot about you from Sheikh Nuruddin. We speak about you a lot when we sit in my place in Bedford, Virginia. Ahlan wa sahlan, please come and join us. Not so far, 2.5 hours away. See a small community, one of the oldest spiritual communities in the United States, by the way. We've been in existence since really 1968, 69. When I was only 2 years old, of course. Well, I stretched the truth a little. I'm collecting my Medicare. Well, I should say I'm paying for it, actually. My dear brothers and sisters, the opportunity to speak to you on the life of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an opportunity I hope to place the Prophet's love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his subsequent role as messenger to humanity in some right perspective, the perspective of today, the perspective of now. It is very hard for me to speak of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as if he was a historical character somewhere in the past. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam plays a role in our day-to-day existence, not only just saying he's a model for our life, but more than this, he is, if you'll excuse me, a metaphor for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is an expression of love itself, if we truly dive and understand into his life and his history. Human beings today, especially in the westernized world, and we understand that the westernized world is everywhere today, hold such fragmented perspectives that even, my dear brothers and sisters, the subject of love itself has become compartmentalized. Has come to connote primarily, you know, physical relationships and love of objects and things, but it has to also be understood in another way. There's a poet called Ashik. And with that comes an accompanying state of absence from this world. Some describe it as wajd, as ecstasy, that provides a seamless awareness and consciousness of swimming in the ocean of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each day, our worldly lives confront us with so many contrasts between the reality of dunya and this reality that's deep, deep within our own hearts, our qalb. And in the world of love, in the world of total submission, that we can only find in the heart and in love. And life is filled with many difficulties, many trials, tribulations, alternating experiences of nearness and distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nearness and distance from the memory of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and from one another. And the challenges and demands of love, and the challenges and the demands of surrender, and the challenges and the demands of trust are so intertwined with everyday's experiences, we can get very confused. And so what is this kind of love, this ashik, this love that's a love not of the physical kind, but the love of the heart reaching out and having a response come immediately to us. That reminds us that wheresoever we turn, there is the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything we're seeing, everything we're hearing, everything we're interfacing with is that divine presence, an expression of that divine presence. And what draws us toward the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what draws us toward the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this himmah, this ardor, this eagerness, this yearning for one another, we all have this love. And himma is a yearning that is not just a yearning that is peaceful. It's a yearning that sometimes is disquieting and upsetting. Because it's in such contrast to some other things that we're experiencing in our day-to-day life. Especially in the world we're living in today, with so many challenges and the economic problems all over the world. And maybe, you know, even our families in other parts of the world are suffering even more. So there is a kind of worry and a kind of affliction that comes with that kind of himmah. The affliction of love has two sides, as we see in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the one hand, there are the anxieties that come from life. And yet, amidst all of these anxieties, in the midst of all these worries, we can find a kind of heroism, a kind of greatness, a kind of gallantry. Solicitude, a kind of care and attentiveness, istiman, a gentle sweetness that accompanies not only the name, but the presence of Prophet Muhammad in our life. And we can begin to see that the seeds of love that were planted in the soil of our souls by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the very beginning of beginnings can be grown to their maximal potential in the light, just like seeds, all seeds grow in the light of Nur-e Muhammad. And this is not theory. And though we may learn it in school, and we may learn it in Sunday school, and maybe told to us, we really can experience it. That himmah that rises in our hearts and it turns our lives around is a metaphor for unity, for tawheed. Because that tawheed is the reality, the only reality that we know that is Islam. A seamless of passion, of love, of submission. And let's not forget that that love, that Islam, taslim, doesn't just mean submission. The root of this term means safety and security. And we find our safety and our security in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in His Prophet, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Outwardly, this tawhid manifests in the ummah. Consider the many forces that serve to unify people within Islam. Our brother Hussein talked about the different people who gather, all of us who gather here who are lovers of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of us who are Muslims who gather here, hopefully mu'min. All believers are called to bear witness to the one truth. All are held responsible for the same burden. All have taken on the khalifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created us and mandated for us to care for one another. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us, God loves those who love His creatures and who for the love of Allah disperse His wealth, who, though longing for it themselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Quran, bestow their food on the poor, the orphans, the needy, the captives, who feed you for the sake of Allah, and seek from you neither recompense nor thanks. We have to remember, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Quran to remember. Remember when I gave Musa. Remember when I gave the Quran. Remember when I told Yusuf. Remember, remember. You're not saying remember history from a textbook. Think of it differently. He's saying, remember, you were there. Remember yesterday when I called you on the phone and we had a conversation about... Huh? Do you remember last week when we ran over at Walmart? Huh? Remember. In reality, we're all present. And we have been present with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when we, by His grace and mercy, have the opportunity to maybe to have a dream of Him, the ruqya. How do we know it's Him? We know because we remember. Because we have seen His face. We have felt His love. We have touched the things He has touched. And we have received the Nur-e Muhammad. It's hard to believe that because we all live in this sort of linear time. Huh? We're born, we go, we work, we retire, but we don't retire. We were talking, we don't retire. We keep working. And we die. But no, there's another time. There's a time when we seize the moment. Seize the moment. Seize the moment of the Divine Presence. Seize the moment of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is present with us. And we're enjoined to do this, and we participate in this, in the unified community that functions as a cohesive whole for all of humanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, He says, and hold fast together by the rope Allah stretches out to you, and be divided not among yourselves. Dr. Hussein, he told us this today. And remember with gratitude Allah's favor on you, for you were enemies and He joined your hearts in love, so that by His grace you became brothers and sisters by implication. And we have the responsibility. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived and guided us and enjoined us to do, which we find in Surah Al-Imran. He says, "Waqtukum minkum." Ummatan yaduna illa khayri wa yamuruna bil ma'rufi wa yanhauna in anil munkar wa ulaika humul muflihun. And let there be of you an ummah to call to the good and to enjoin virtue and forbid vice. Those who do so are felicitous. So this, first we have to understand this fundamental principle of Tawheed, that we're united. And creating unity, therefore, you know, some people say, well, we have to create unity. Well, it's a, you know, we say in English, it's an oxymoron. It doesn't make sense. You can't create unity. Unity exists. What happens is that we're fragmented and we're disunified. And it's more apparent than the real, unfortunately. And unity always underlies our diversity. Without the foundation of Tawheed, without the sense of community, without the diversity and unity, there could be no Islam. And yet we've come very far from that himmat of the lover and the beloved. How distant we are from the seamless, from that ceaseless exchange of love, of hubb, mahabbat, between the Lord and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and His Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to look at this concept of hubb, of love, and let's look at that word, how comprehensive it is. You know, hubba means to love and to evoke affection and to have amicable relation. Habiba means, of course, beloved and the sweetheart. And there are many related words, you know, like habab, the aim, the goal, muhabab, what is agreeable and what's pleasant and what's desirable, and tahabub, mutual love and concord and harmony, and mahabba is the love that rises up in our hearts. Ahabba. The state, we say, of a camel who kneels down and refuses to stand up. This is described as the determination of the lover who will not budge from that state of love. But also we come to this word, you know, habba, which means seeds. In Surah Yasin, you know, وَآيَاتُ لَهُمُ الْأَرْضُ الْمَيْتَى آيَانَهَا وَأَخْرَجَ مِنْهَا لَحَبًا فَإِنَّهُ يَاكُلُونَ. And the sign to them is the lifeless earth in winter. We give it life and bring forth from it seeds, so that from it we may eat of it. It's wonderful that the celebration that we're celebrating today is coming to us in spring. And we look outside and we see life coming back to us. It's a rainy, cold day. And we look at the trees and they're budding. And our garden, the flowers are coming. again and again, returning and returning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with this return of life. This potential that's waiting to be realized, the potential that comes to function when the seeds break out from their shells and emerge in a new state, and when they recreate their own seeds 1,000 times over. And this dynamic of life repeats through the power of hubb and hibba. This is the story of the love. This is the kind of constant, cyclical presence of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All we have to do is to learn how to pay attention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Quran, you have eyes but you don't see, you have ears but you don't hear. Well, we have eyes, and most of us, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do see. And most of us, we do have hearing, vast majority of people. So what does it mean? We have eyes and we don't see, and we have ears we don't hear. We have to learn how to pay attention. We have to learn how to focus. And the example of paying attention and hearing and seeing, being brought low and being raised up. The person who showed with his yearning, he received the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the mountain, and then comes down shaking in fear to his wife, Khadija, and says, you know, we can hear it in modern day language. You know, the strangest thing happened to me. I'm afraid. What happened to me? Don't worry. Don't worry. You know, Malash, Allahu Akbar. It's okay. It's okay. We have to be brought down to fear, to be lifted up to courage. And this story begins when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plants the seed of love in our hearts. The dead earth is like a heart that's not awakened. But what nourishes it? It's love. Our sisters know much better than we do. Much better than we do. As day by day by day, they feel the life within them grow. And this life coming to fruition in this world. But coming from where? Coming from where? Coming from Allah. How aware are we of the limitless ability of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to love us and to respect others without distinction or race? Do you remember? Do you remember? You were there. Do you remember that following the Battle of Badr, a Meccan by the name of Umar ibn Wahab of the Quraysh came to Medina intent on killing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And as he approached that masjid where Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, Umar ibn Khattab took a note of his sword and moved to stop him. But the Prophet wasallam called to Umar to let the man enter, inviting Umar to sit next to him. And he began to speak to this assassin, would-be assassin. And he talked to him with great affection. And he talked to him with sweetness in his voice. And then he recounted in exact detail the plot that he had an accomplice that he devised. And the man was astonished. After all, they were the only two who knew. So impressed was he by Prophet Muhammad ﷺ's insight and generosity that he accepted Islam. And Nabi Muhammad ﷺ neither reprimanded him, he didn't punish him, he didn't threaten him in any way. What kind of power lies in an individual to have that level, not only of insight and capability, but to have that level of kindness and forgiveness? An individual could unify enemies and strangers. How many people really, in the history of humanity, have remained a major global force for more than 1,430 years? Whose names can we mention? Of all the people in this world today, whose names will be remembered 1,000 years from now, 500 years from now? And certainly, we're discussing a person of greatness and courage and gentility and love and concern, but not only in words, but in deeds. He avoided attending, remember, the Tarawiyah prayer one night because he didn't want to place an undue burden on believers. We know how much he loved to pray. We know his feet would swell. Yes? He would pray all night. And he loved to be among the Sahaba. But he thought to the future. He thought to the future. And he arrived at the masjid and he saw the people gathered and he retreated to his quarters, for he realized that if he did that prayer every evening, it would be interpreted as fun. On another occasion, when Muaz, radiallahu ta'ala, who extended the congregational prayer, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Muaz, are you putting the people on trial? Huh? Are you putting the people on trial?" He repeated this three times, ensuring that Muaz understood what he was saying. Always thinking, always feeling, what is the feeling in the room? What is the feeling of the people? What is on their mind? What is their hope? What is their fear? What is their anxiety? What makes it easy for them? What makes it hard for them? How do we identify with that? And he continuously guided the Sahaba to express care and concern toward everybody. You know, remember, a man asked the Holy Prophet, O Messenger of Allah, how am I to know whether I did good or bad? And Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, إِذَّا سَمِتَ جِعَانِكَ يَقُلُونَ أَكَدْ أَنْسَنْتَ فَقَدْ. I don't have much time. Let me translate it. When you hear your neighbor say you have done good, then you have done good. And when you hear them say you have done bad, then certainly you have done bad. The Holy Prophet had so much mercy for others. He was pained whenever he saw anyone in need. Pained when he thought that anyone was unhappy. And of course, he always thought of others before himself. You remember that in the battle of Uhud, when Prophet Muhammad was struck in the face and his tooth was broken, and he said, "Oh Allah, forgive my companions for abandoning me. They're ignorant. I remain with them because I am your servant and slave in order to illumine their hearts." How do we count ourselves to be among the lovers of Nabi Muhammad ﷺ? Surely you have to contemplate humility, and we have to be sincere, and to think that we can stand even in the long shadow of Nabi Muhammad ﷺ. How do we act toward our families? How do we speak to our neighbors? How do we do our transactions in our work? How do we speak to a person on the street? How do we care for a poor person? How do we feel when we hear something across the world, something has happened to thousands of people on the other side of the world? When there's misery, when there's grief, when there's loss, when there's disbelief, do we say, "Oh, did it happen just to Muslims?" Do we say that? When we hear of terrible tragedies on the other side of the world? Or when our neighbor, maybe a Christian neighbor, something happened, God forbid, their child was in the hospital or died or a car accident or something like that. Do we take some litmus test and ask them, "Well, if you're a Muslim, I feel compassion for you"? No, of course not. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is all compassion and who gave us the example of the most compassionate person, has placed the seed of compassion in us. We can't stop it. You couldn't stop it if you had all the power in the world. You couldn't stop that compassion from coming. When a stranger who you see harmed on the street is lying in pain and the tear comes to your eye, you can't stop it. This is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he lives as our companion as he walks by our side and as his light shines through us. The knowledge of him and his seerah, the knowledge of his ahadith, they give us a context for the character of the person. But we have to try to understand, how did he think? How did he feel? What did he say? What was the tone of his voice? And there's someone we love a lot. Someone, my grandfather, my grandmother, my mother, May she rest in the peace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who never, in my life, I never, in 83 years she lived, I never heard her say one bad word about anyone. Never. Never. So when I think of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I think, this is the kind of character who never say a bad word against someone. We all have some way to identify with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of us. Not just by making a dua. Of course, we must make dua. We're enjoying to make dua. We feel wonderful when we hear beautiful dua. But we have examples in our lives, in our experiences. That is Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some people say, well, you know, at the time of Prophet Muhammad, you know, found it, okay, well, I can say La ilaha illallah, but Muhammad and Rasulullah, you know, that's difficult. Who is this man? This is not a man who's just a man, just a person. This is the exemplification, this is the expression, this is the articulation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to model. And the enthusiasm of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for bringing the love of truth of Allah to the people was equaled often by the resistance to that truth, as we well know. But did it alter his conviction? No. The world changed around him. He didn't change around the world. The Prophet was so far above pettiness, and so far above extreme behavior and selfishness and personal greed, that his love was transforming, and people who had not been able to see were able then to see. People who had not been willing to hear were able to hear. But not just then, now. We should dive into the ocean of Prophet Muhammad. We should listen closely to his words. We should try to absorb them, not just as a historical character, but someone who is guiding us day by day by the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the strength of character and the ethical life and the moral life and the values are become the inspiration to every decision we made. Remember, Sumama bin Uthal of the Hanifa tribe was captured in battle and brought to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And he ordered him to tie to a pillar of the mast. And when the Holy Prophet ﷺ came and he asked him what he had to say about his attacks on Islam, he replied, "O Muhammad, if you kill me, you will kill a murderer. And if you are benevolent, you are benevolent to a grateful person. If you demand compensation, that person himself will pay for it." And Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said nothing and he went away. And the next day he visited that masjid again and he asked the same question. He received the same answer. Same answer. And the scene repeated itself the following day, and having heard the identical reply for 3 days in a row, Prophet ﷺ ordered him released. And he was so impressed by his generous treatment that he did his wudu. He returned to the masjid, embraced Islam with his own free will. This story tells us a lot, not only about Prophet Muhammad, but about our capacity for patience, our capacity to persevere, our capacity to hear, to listen, to look into the character of another human being, and our faith and our belief in our Islam that transforms murderers into friends, enemies into brothers and sisters. So who is this Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose name was never given before, as we were informed by Imam, reminded? He is the manifestation of our fitrah. He is the exemplar of our natural inborn ability to know between right and wrong, and true and false, and good and bad. He is the example of all the potential goodness in humanity. And just in his light, in his radiant light, in the memory and remembering him, that goodness comes out of us, just like the flowers pushing their way through the hard winter earth, crack the earth. How do they do that? How do they do that? If we go up to a leaf on one of these like tulips that are coming up now, and we can just break it like that, and yet it pushes away this hard earth. Wallahi, how great that power is. Oh, we can look at it, analyze it from physics, of course. We can do that. Pounds per square inch and pressure and all that. But the pressure of life. This is the force of life. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the force of the life that given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. Before there were rocks and volcanoes and oceans and all kinds of, but human being life. Who is he? He existed before Adam. And when we try to unveil and reveal the complexity of life, you know, we have to do it through the simplicity of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Hadith Quds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks through his words, through his mouth, my servant continues to draw near to me with a supererogatory work so that I shall love him. And when I love him, I am the ears with which he hears and the eyes with which he sees and the hands with which he strikes and the feet with which he walks. And we see this very clearly, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet, peace be upon him, was a conduit for the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many people over the years have come to me and they say, you know, how do we understand this religion? How do we understand the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You talk about Islam, you know. Look, I'm an American. Huh? 40 years ago, I reverted back to my Islam. Huh? In my case, it was true because my family line many, many generations ago came through that part of the world. And I say, you know, these are very good questions. They're questions asked by an intelligent person, not somebody, many intelligent people all over the world, but some of us didn't have the benefit of growing up with this being fed to us with our mother's milk. We didn't have the benefit of seeing someone very pious always in front of us, telling us what piety was and exemplifying it for us. Many of us had to embrace this foreign religion from a foreign place. How do we understand it? How do we understand who this man, this Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What makes him different, as we were told, Imam was telling us? Some of us had to start from the beginning, from zero. And then, what I tried to understand, I look at the life of Prophet Muhammad, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I say, look, well, who is this person? If I look at the name Rahman or Rahim, he is compassion, he is mercy. He is Salam, he is Ghafur, he is Malik. He is the expression of every one of these Asma al-Husna, the 99 beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not just names. They're not just words we call attributes. We're engaging with them every second of our life, every breath of our life. There is nothing that doesn't remind us. I just turned, I hit the wall. The strength, the power of this wall. The light in this room. The changes in the life, in the weather. All of us. We're constantly in this dynamic relationship with the expressions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just to remember that, and then you say, and that is the man. That is the man. You want to understand compassion? Here's this story. You want to understand power? Here's this story. You want to understand justice? Here's this story. You want to understand perseverance? Here's this story. You want to understand peace? Here's this story. of this man, one person. Could anybody take any of us in this room and use all of those attributes and say, here's the example in this one man, in this Abd al-Rashid? Forget it. Never. Never. And so that's what I tell people when they come to me. I say, I can only tell you what I know. I can only tell you how I understand. I cannot understand just a historical figure. I can't grasp that. But I can understand a person who lived in a physical body at one time, whose light came before Adam, and who now resides beside us in expression of all moral, ethical, compassion, merciful, kindness, strength, direction, intellectual ability. That I can understand. That I can grasp. And yet, that person, that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that person was so kind that he cared about every human being. You know, sometimes you're going to go shopping for the Eid, huh? For the children. You want to go buy presents for the family in the Eid time. And you're going to go. We're not going to try to give any commercials for any stores. So I won't say Target or Walmart or anything like that. And you're walking up and down the aisles, huh? Do you go to the store if you have five people you're shopping for? Do you go to the store five separate times? No, we go one time. Maybe two times, I don't know. You forgot something, you go two times. You're shopping for 10 people. You don't go 10 times. Today I'm going for Ahmed. Tomorrow I'm going for Fatima. You know? No. You go, and as you walk up and down the aisles, you see, that would be good for her. Oh, that would be good for him. You know? Oh, yes, so-and-so needs this. This is like this man. This man who walked this earth and still lives with us, who are able to see everything at one time and to say, well, this person is this tone of voice, this guidance, this insight, this word of comfort, this word of admonition, this prescription, this prescription, this love, this sternness. Like that. Alhamdulillah. And we have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the ability to taste these things. Even in just our present buying for the Eid. Even in our just care for our neighbor without asking him, pass a litmus test. What religion are you, brother? I'm sorry, I can't be compassionate to you. What do you believe, sister? Oh, I'm sorry, I can't help you across the street. You fell down, I'm sorry. Too bad. No. This is how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam lives in our life. An endless array of stories, an endless array of kindness and understanding. So many stories. But today, in the world we live in today, we need to follow the Prophet's example of tolerance and compassion, greater today than perhaps ever, for we confront so much diversity every day. Fewer and fewer people live in monocultural situations. We look around the room, from people from all over the world living in Richmond, Virginia. Some who arrived here, whose ancestors arrived here on slave ships. Others who came to go to college and stay. Others of us who were born here and generations were here. Others of us who came and married and stayed, and others of us, how many stories are there just in this room? And increasingly we interact with different belief systems and different lifestyles and different ethnic groups and different values on a daily basis. Is this not like Medina in some way? And it doesn't take the same kind of himmah, the same kind of passion and the same kind of love to open our hearts and our minds and to yet stay strong with our Islam. and to find our real safety and security in our faith and our belief in Islam. And let it be that people say to us, oh, my neighbor helped me like no one ever helped me. Oh, when I was sick, they provided meals for me. Oh, my boss, he is so nice to me. Oh, the person, that policeman. Oh, he's a Muslim. Like I said, oh, that man they're calling a prophet. That everybody's against. You really ought to go listen to him. People were spitting on him. People were throwing stones. Remember the story of Taif, huh? Children throwing stones at him. What does he say? Well, the Jews who came and said, who said to him, Assalamu alaykum. Death be upon you. And Aisha radiallahu anha, Allah and her, was so angry, and she said, may death be upon you, and curses, she says. And Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says to her, Inna Allah yuhibbu rifka fil amri kulli. Aisha, truly Allah loves kindness in everything. Is that a message for 20 some years ago? No, it is a message for us today. We should not isolate ourselves. Prophet Muhammad didn't isolate himself. We shouldn't fear what's outside of our circle of people. We should be open and embrace the people and say, here we are. We are the people of kindness and love. We are the children of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are the people who follow the example of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you be who you are. You believe what you believe. You believe what you believe. I'm going to believe what I believe. But I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to care for you if you need care. I'm going to cook for you if you need food. I'm going to wash you if you are dirty. I'm going to help you with everything I can. Why? Because in my ear, I hear Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, do it, brother, do it. Remember what Allah says. Remember me and I'll remember you. He didn't say, I'll remember you and then you remember me. He said, remember me and then I'll remember you. And so we have to contemplate this. And we have to take account of ourselves. We have to make muhasabah. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always telling us to reflect. Tafakkur. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Qawla Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alayhi. Hasibu anfusikum kabbalu antu hasibu zinu amalakum kabbalu antu zinu alaykum. We have to think and weigh our actions before our actions become a weight upon us. We have to see how this personality, this expression, this light of Muhammad, light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our light, acted in his life. So at this time, my dear brothers and sisters, when Western values and civilization have been dominant for nearly 300 years, we find communities and individuals yearning now for a sense of meaning, for a foundation rooted in something deeper than this material world. And we have experience as Muslims of sustaining a dynamic civilization longer than almost any other society in recorded history. And yet the potential of Islam today is clouded by the fragmentation of our own ummah, by the politicization of Islam, of our deen. And we have to return to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As our brother Hussein said, you celebrate your way, you believe as your way, you believe as my way. That's true, but we all put our head on the mat. And we all invoke the name of Allah and the name of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we all believe in the Holy Book. And we all believe and we all fast Ramadan, inshallah, if we're able. And if Allah puts His energy in our feet, we move toward Makkah. But He has placed also a Kaaba near to us that we can turn to, make muraqabah in our heart. And everything turns around that, and we couldn't live unless the blood turned around that. We couldn't live unless the breath came through that. We couldn't live that Kaaba in our heart. This Qibla that is our heart is, again, the metaphor. It's real in the physical world, in the Alam al-Khalaq, but in the Alam al-Amr, in the world of command, Allah is commanding us to pay attention. To pay attention. Tawajjuh. To pay attention to the life that He has given us. To pay attention to the Muhammad Rasulullah that we attest to. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. We attest to the fact that Muhammad is the messenger. What messenger? The mind tells you a message. My mind is telling me, don't do this, that's not good. Do that, that's better. Don't say that, that's wrong. Say this, it's good. Don't eat that, that's bad for you. Eat this, this is good for you. So I ask you, where is the messenger? Messenger is there and here. Outside and inside, in the zahir and in the batin. And we accept this and embrace this idea. Yes, I understand there are cultural differences. We all have our cultural differences, and some of it is baggage. You know, when you travel back to Pakistan or India or Iran or Indonesia or wherever you travel to visit your family, you always take too much baggage. Right? You have to pay a lot over. Well, I'm sorry, that's going to cost you $500, you know. Well, I paid a lot of money. I'm sorry, you had to get too much baggage. Sometimes you have to leave some baggage behind. And some of the baggage we have to leave behind is some of our prejudices and our biases that come along with us. Here we are, together. Different faces, different colors, from different places. And where are we? We're in the home of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are in the home of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We love the same person. What? Do we ask? What, you know, we know his family line. We know who his father, his mother was. We know all that. But not one of us thinks, you know, about his race or his biases or any of that culture. We don't think that. We think about his qualities. Alhamdulillah. Remember, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us ask, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant that we may be aware of the presence of your prophets and the last of our prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, let us understand the real meaning of Islam in submission. As Islam is safety, as Islam is security. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us walk on the wide boulevard of Sharif. And let us take that small path of the Tariq on that boulevard and make it a safe and secure place, a fast walk for all those who want to know you and to devote their lives to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us pray for all of those brothers and sisters and their families who are here today and ask you to give them happiness and relief and prosperity and strength and times of understand that at times of difficulty that you are present even in your denial. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protect them all as they strive and dedicate their lives to this work and are willing to accept what you give them with gratitude. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most of all, Allah, let us bask in the shade of the love of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Help us to emulate the pure character of your Prophet and remember what our Prophet said, the example of me and you, he said, is like that of a man who has kindled a fire. Grasshoppers and butterflies start falling into the fire, and the man continued protecting them against it. I'm holding you back from falling into the fire, and you are slipping from my hand. Ya Allah, Ya Rasulullah, help us to understand that compassion is a sign of humility. It removes our arrogance. Help us to do good to all as you, and to do as your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, to help the needy, help the sick, the disabled, feed the hungry, have concern for the affairs of their fellow men and women, and joining for the good and forbidding evil. Wallahu lahu al-haqqil huwali adil sabil. حسبنا الله ودعه ونعم الوكيل وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد عليه وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Truth belongs to Allah. It is He who shows the way. Allah alone suffices us, and what a fine guardian is He. Blessings upon our Master Muhammad and his family and companions, all together in praise is due to Allah, Lord of the worlds. وصلى الله على سيدنا نبينا ونأميرنا ومولانا وشفينا وحبيبنا محمد ياسين حميم خاتم النبيين ومرسل رحمة العالمين صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the greeting of Allah upon our liege Lord and Prophet and Commander and Protector and Intercessor and Beloved Muhammad Taha Yasin Hameen, Seal of the Prophets, the Mercy of Mercy to all the worlds. Greetings of Allah and peace be upon all of you. Jazakallah khair. May Allah forgive me for any errors I've made.
Thank you, Shaykh Rashid, and look at all the reflection of the love of
Allah. Alhamdulillah.
Think that you did good, yeah. You are good, and you will never think that you did not. You are back when you are back.
You know, it's a very, very good question. I'm glad you asked that question, because this is where I think the fear comes, where fear comes in. When we look around the world we live in today, Sidi, we can't easily say that the people around us are moral and ethical beings for the most part. You know, unfortunately. And especially when you're living in vertical housing, where you don't even know the person next to you. You don't know the person above you. You don't know the person below you. And I have a condo in Washington, you know, and we go there. We were there 2 days and someone made a complaint. Knock on the door. 1 o'clock in the morning, a knock on the door. It's a security man. He said, some people making complaints, you're making noise. I said, yes. And he was a Muslim. I said, yes, Sidi. Assalamu alaikum. You know, brother, it is 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm going to get up in a couple of hours for Fajr prayer. I'm going to get up before that for Tahajjud. You think I'm having a party? Would you like to come in? No, brother, he says. The people downstairs, they complain. Huh? I said, I don't know what they're complaining about. Not for me. I don't know the people downstairs. I don't know them. But I'm happy if you want me to go speak to them. I speak to them. So in the world we live in today, Sidi, we don't know often the neighbor. We don't know the people. And therefore, you're right, in at least in the implication of what you're saying, that it's very hard to take that hadith and apply it across the board as any neighbor or anybody who says anything about you. However, I think it's an attitude. The attitude is this. The neighbor may say something that is totally false, like this neighbor said of us. My children were asleep. My wife was asleep. The house has that much carpeting on it. I was sitting quietly in the den. Nothing happened. But it caused me to reflect. And I went to it and said, did anything happen? Did I turn the water? Did I drop something in the bathroom? What did I do? I tried to go back and I remember. So even the false accusation of a person who may even have a wrong attitude toward us should give us an opportunity to reflect. You know? And we have to make a judgment. Now, on the other hand, if it's my neighbor at our community in Bedford, who I've lived with for some 30 some years. We have, you know, our community, we have over 60 families, and we have our own school, and we have many people who grew up. If somebody there says to me, I know that person, and I say, well, they say, yeah, Sheikh, you know, something you said was very disturbing to me. Wow. Then I can live that hadith in a whole nother way. So indeed, we have to know the person, or we have to have the desire to reflect upon ourselves. Do I have the willingness to reflect and say, is there truth in what that person is saying about me in that circumstance? If there is, then I have to make tawbah. If there is not, I have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making me reflect on something that I normally would not have reflected on, and to ask myself in that moment, maybe something else will be revealed to me. Something else will be told to me. Well, no, I didn't do anything in this circumstance, but I was never called on that circumstance. And now that reminded me of this, and I make tawbah of this. That's my understanding of it. Because we live in, the times are different. People are, of course, always the same in a way, but they're different. The times are the same, but they're different. And we have to make accommodations. Because the hadith, just like Quran, is living Quran. Living Quran. I tell my students, I say, you know, for the next 3 months, pick up Quran and read the Quran for the dynamism in the Quran. For the next three months, read the Quran for the admonitions. Read it for different things because you're in a different state every day in a different part of your life. It will reveal to you something new every time. Same thing with the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't get too caught up in the history of it. The history gives you context, but make it alive. Make it alive. Because if it's not living, then what do we worship? Does anybody here worship dead things? No, we don't worship a dead God. I don't even like the word God. You know, we don't. Allah is alive. We wouldn't. Would any of us worship anything that was dead? No. It's haram. We can't eat anything that wasn't killed properly. We can't worship anything that is not alive. So it has to be living. It has to be living. And if it's not applicable, if it's not applicable to Richmond, to Beaufort Road in Richmond, or to Silk Road in Bedford, then what is it? So Allah is always telling you, test me, no? Is that all right? You satisfied? Alhamdulillah.
You learned from the statements about the qualities of love, and you made reference to woman and her marriage years. Does love have a gender dimension?
I don't think so.
But why do in most cultures this expression of love, which is spoken,
which maybe you and I can talk about at another time. But we experience it differently. What I was trying to just say, that our system, when I was making the analogy to the seeds in the ground and the growth, and so they have a daily experience. They have a daily experience of this metaphor that I was making. But for us, as males in the society, we have another way of experiencing that, a different kind of passion and love. But at the same time, I don't know about you, but when my children are born, my tears come out of my eyes, you know? And I look at them and I say, my God, Allah, what is this? What is this? How did this happen? So, in a sense, we meet at that moment. We meet at the birth, you know, and we meet at the blossoming of the flower. And we can all recognize love when we see it. Unless we're somehow demented or perverted human being, we recognize love. So many of the poets were men. Huh? So many of the poets were men. Men. They wrote this beautiful love poetry, right? We see Jalaluddin Rumi, Hafez, you know, Shabbos Bari, so many, Baba Farigan Shikar, so many of these people express that love. And we, I think, have a very, very unique opportunity to have that kind of love to Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That really a lot of that love poetry is about the relationship of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, especially, you know, especially for our Pakistani and Indian brothers, you know, and sisters here, for as you hear it in the Qawwali, for example, or the Shastiya Qawwali, or people from Iran, you know, here in the poetry of Shabastari or Hafez or so many poems, poets, you know. So I think that we have the poetry in our soul. I was making an analogy only to the spring at that time, but we have it. And then the way we express our passion is differently, and we have to direct it, and we have a lot of responsibility in that way as men. Jazakallah khair, inshallah. Forgive me if I said anything not proper.